We'll look at a few things out of the book of Obadiah tonight. I hope it helps you a little. And sometimes we don't want to tackle those books because they look a little complicated. But you get to studying them and they get unfolded. And we'll not even cover probably two or three verses tonight here in this one chapter. And I pray that the Lord will give us wisdom and understanding to see it and get the context of it, see where it's at, what it's doing, what it's saying to us. And I challenge you tonight from the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand and read it. If you don't know where it's at, find the book of Joel. It's in Joel 41 Sundays. What's that? 10 months worth of study off of the book of Joel. And then go to the next book is Amos. And then the next book, Obadiah. The reason I said that, if you'll find Joel, you said in that study for 41 Sundays, your Bible opens up to Joel pretty good by now. Amen. It's kind of limber there. The Bible said in chapter 1, only one chapter, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they have enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. And we'll stop there. You can be seated and let's pray. Lord, give us divine wisdom tonight to look at this scripture, this book of Obadiah. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God, not add anything to it, nor take anything away from it. But give us clear, open understanding of the Word of God. And help us to get an application to our heart in this modern day. Realizing, God, that we need Your touch tonight. Have Your own way. Speak to us. Meet the needs of the people. And these requests that's been mentioned tonight, every single one of them, Lord, I pray that You'll meet those needs and touch and stir. Lord, finger around the hearts of those that have no concern for the things of God. Finger around the heart, Lord, of those who got discouraged and got at the place, Lord, they just kind of got away and broke loose. And sitting idly by, not paying much attention. I pray, God, that You'll touch their hearts. That is nearest hell tonight. I pray, God, You'd send somebody by. May they hear somebody, speak to somebody about their soul. God, that tonight is discouraged and backslidden. Have Your own way in their heart and life. Touch the men of God as they try to declare the Word. We give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Obadiah. Somebody said, why in the world we want to study the book of Obadiah? Because it's one of the 66 inspired books of the Bible. Amen. So then we're going to get anything out of Obadiah? If you're looking for it, you will. And if you come not looking tonight, you won't get nothing. And I pray tonight, Lord, the Lord might bless you. Obadiah is a word that we need to look at. Now, let me just kind of break this down and get you to understanding this. I'll go back on something I spoke about last Wednesday night. The first 17 books of the Bible are historical. You remember that. And the last 17 books of the... I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Old Testament. The last 17 books of the Old Testament are prophetic. And then you have the five in between there. Obadiah fits in the last 17 chapters, or the last 17 books of the Old Testament. So therefore, tonight, right off the bat, right up at the top, Obadiah is a prophecy. and Obadiah is a prophet. And you got to get this in your mind. If you don't, you're going to not understand it. Now, there are several Obadiahs in the Bible. I'll give you the scriptures right quick. Jot these scriptures down. Look them up when you get home. One, I'll mention a little bit more than I will the rest of them. The rest of them, I'll just give you a scripture reference. But I'll give you to get you to turn with the first one. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. I want you to just notice this Obadiah. There's 13 of them mentioned, and some of them may be the same, and most of them don't let you know, and there's just a reason for that tonight. In 1 Kings chapter 18, you remember this is the life of Elijah. When you get to 17th, 18th chapter, Elijah's on the scene. But when we get to the 18th chapter, go to verse number 3. It said, "And Ahab called Obadiah," see that, "which was the governor of his house." Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now this man was the governor over Ahab's house. Ahab was a wicked king. We know that. Then it said in verse number 4, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them of bread and water." Remember, he loved the Lord, he feared God, and he hid the prophets. Now, some have said that's the same Obadiah we find here, but I can't prove that. But I do want to mention him. Then we find something else in verse number 5. It said, "And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto the rock," or "unto the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast." So we find he's mentioned again there in that verse. And then in that same chapter, verse number 16, the Bible said, "So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." Now that's the first one that's mentioned in the Bible. Now the others, I'm not going to turn to them. I'm just going to give you the references of them. And they're recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 21. And it's not the same. In chapter 7 in verse 3 of 1 Chronicles, the next one. And then the next one is in chapter 8 and verse 38. Look them up. Just give you the references. I just want you to have them. And in chapter 9 in verse 44 of 1 Chronicles. Also in the same book, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 9. And also chapter 27 in verse 19. Another is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 17:7 and 2 Chronicles 34:12. Another is mentioned in Ezra 8:9, Nehemiah chapter 10 in verse 5, and Nehemiah chapter 12 in verse 25. And that may not hold much to you tonight, but I'd at least give them to you. Now we find that Obadiah is mentioned here in the first chapter and the first verse, and Obadiah, if you will, tonight, is only mentioned one time in this entire book of one chapter. Now, Obadiah means servant or worshiper of the Lord. Amen. No wonder people want to be named Obadiah. Servant or worshiper of the Lord. And I said a while ago, Obadiah is a prophetic book, but give you the subject and the thought of this book tonight. It deals with the punishment of Edom. Keep that in mind. Punishment of Edom. It gives the doom and destruction of Edom in this one chapter. It also tonight gives the victory and the salvation of Israel. So you could say it's the doom of Edom and the victory of Israel. And those little 21 verses. The first a few verses in this chapter, if you will, tonight, we'll deal the first 17 verses of this chapter. We'll deal with Edom. And the last 5 verses, we'll deal with Israel and hit her victory. Now, who was Obadiah? Where was Obadiah born? Who was Obadiah's parents? What was Obadiah's occupation? What exact age did he appear? All that's unknown. Isn't it amazing? God is not concerned about us knowing about the messenger. He just wants us to know the message. Amen. You got to watch preachers that want to brag about themselves. It's the message. And we'll see this as God deals with it. Obadiah did not bring any notice to himself. He didn't bring any exalting to himself. He exalted the Word of God. John the Baptist reminds me of somebody like Obadiah. John the Baptist come out of the wilderness preaching. He didn't come out bragging about what he is doing, what he is going to do, or what he had done. Paul is another that reminds me how a man of God ought to be. He didn't come bragging about himself. Paul did not brag on himself. He bragged on Jesus. And so his major task, Obadiah's major task, was to declare the Word of the living God and to bring a prophecy to Edom and to Israel. Now you'll see it's kind of interesting as it lays together. This is the groundwork, the framework I'm trying to give you. But this book is very interesting. And it's going to bring us some thoughts and truths tonight that we can apply. A preacher that has me, myself, and mine as his ministry tonight is walking on dangerous ground. God gives us all that we have, and all we have is Him. And tonight we want to brag on Him and not ourselves. Now look at verse number 3 for a thing I want to throw into you and put it at you tonight. And then we'll go on a little bit further. We're going to talk about who this Edom is and all that tonight. We're going to bring that forth, and I hope it'll help us as we begin to look at it. But as we look tonight, we'll see in verse number 3, the pride of thine heart. Now let's just go back just a minute and understand where we are in verse number 3. What's happened? Edom has recognized that there's a prophet in the land. They got a rumor from the Lord, and God has also sent them an ambassador. And Obadiah's come to tell them that the enemy is going to rise up against them. Now remember this one thing. Where's Israel at here? Israel is in captivity, in Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians are on the outside and working against them. And now we find Edom and the Edomites are on the inside. And they have a conspiracy. If you'll study this chapter, you'll find they get a conspiracy with the Babylonians and decide that they're going to destroy the Israelites. Kind of reminds me of today's thing. You know, people trying to put the Jew down. They'll say, see, Hitler come through and tried to annihilate the Jews. The Muslims or the Arabs over there today are trying to do them harm to the Israelites and put them down. There's nations that wants to annihilate and destroy God's people. And Edom was one of those that wanted to do that. And so we find in verse number 3, God said there's something wrong with you. There's something happened to you. You've got pride. Now pride, I'll tell you tonight, is the oldest sin in the Bible. Matter of fact, it is the seed of all sin. Make that in your mind and get that fixed in your soul. Matter of fact, if you'll stop to think about it, it was pride that took a beautiful angel in heaven and made a devil out of him. Pride. It was pride that caused a multitude of angelic beings to be cast out with Satan to the earth. Amen. And that's why it depopulated heaven. Pride. Can I remind you tonight that God hates pride? Pride is at the top of the list. God said seven things, or talks about six things an abomination. Six things God hates, and seven is abomination. And number one is a proud look. God hates pride. Pride is the top of the list of sin. And so God said to Edom, Edom, you have come to the place that you've let your pride get the best of you, and we all find that caused them trouble. Matter of fact, it was pride that caused Adam and Eve to have to be kicked out of the garden. Amen. Pride. They rose up And the devil said, you'll be as gods. He put that in their mind that they would become like God. And that's what he tried to do. And so pride throwed them out of the Garden of Eden. And then we read on and through the Bible. Of course, you can find pride is causing. But pride is what caused Jesus to have to leave the portals of glory and come to Calvary and die. Had there not been such a thing as pride, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. We could have still been in the Garden of Eden having a great time. Are you with me tonight? Think about that. Pride is what populates hell. Multitudes are in hell tonight because they have let pride get in their way. And they will not let themselves come to Christ because of the pride that's in their soul. Multitudes are going to die and go to hell even though they've heard the gospel message over and over and over. It's pride that causes man to refuse the gospel call. It's pride that causes a man to say no to God and wind up in hell. I believe that with all my heart. Matter of fact, it was pride that caused the first murder. Amen. It's pride. Cain said, I'm not going to go God's way. I'll do it my way. And he failed and he missed the mark as you see it tonight. So we'll see all these things. And I pray tonight that God might help us as we begin to study the Word of God. I pray that the Lord might help us with these as we begin to understand what God has showed us out of the precious Word of God tonight. Amen? Thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His mercy as we begin to look at the Scriptures. Now, I want us to go. Let me see if I can find the place I want to go to in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we want to find out who these people are. Who these people, you know, I think it's the 25th chapter, maybe. Let me see if I can find it right quick. We're talking about, yes, over in the book of Genesis chapter 25. Who is Edom? Amen. Who's the descendants of? The Edomites. Where'd they come from? I read it to you tonight in the Bible already, in my text. You just didn't catch it. Esau. Is that right? Esau. I'll give that to you in a minute. Hold your place in Genesis chapter number 25. Hold your place right there. And then let's turn to read one more scripture before that one. To the book of Malachi. I want to point out something tonight that I believe we need to see. In Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, we want to read in chapter number 1. I've been thrown this scripture. This scripture has been thrown in my face for almost 50 years of preaching. And people throw this at me. And they take a bad look at it. They don't understand. But I'm glad tonight we can understand the things of the Lord here as we see them. God's given them to us in the book of Obadiah here. Now, look with me, please. In Malachi chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Verse number 2. I have loved you. He's talking about Israel. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? All right, we're going to go read that in just a minute. Saith the Lord. Then he said, yet I loved Jacob. Yet I loved Jacob. Now, verse number 3 is the thing that's caused a lot of headaches to a lot of people. And I hated Esau. This is God speaking. God said, I love Jacob. And I hated Esau. Oh, I get people's eyes. They begin to turn the attributes of God around and around in their head and say, I didn't know God hated anybody. All right? And I hear them and try to explain it. And it said, and I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. God said, I hated him and I made it bad for him. That's what he said. Now, you say, preacher, can you explain that tonight? What does it mean when God hated Esau? It means this: God hated Esau. Amen. God can't hate nobody. Amen. God hated Esau. Now, by that, this is what they say. They say what happened is God picked out Jacob and said he's going to be in the limelight, and he set Esau and put a mark on him, the sense is going to send him to hell. And they get this business of election and predestination. And that's where they use it. Now, if you're going to do that tonight, you're going to twist the Scriptures. I'm going to give you some things about that that I pray tonight might help you as you begin to look at it. And as we begin to see these things out of the Word of God. All right? Let's look at this. It's the same thing. Go back to Cain and Abel. Well, let's first of all, I better stop right there and go give you the Scripture out of Genesis. I want to give you the Scriptures. I want to let the Word speak to you, not me. Genesis 25. You there? You should have had that place a while ago. Verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and the Lord was entreated of him. Well, let's see. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, couldn't have no children. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled. Now notice this. And the children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, now notice this, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. One thing we know tonight, that we're going to read it on down and we'll find it out for sure, that Esau was the firstborn. And the firstborn had the right to have all. Remember the birth of the firstborn and how they was in line. Verse number 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. We already figured that out. And the first came out red. Remember that red. All over like an hairy garment, and they called his name, what? Esau. Now he's the father of the Edomites. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. Now I want to tell you this. They were fighting before they were born. They were fighting in the womb. And Jacob was holding to the heel of Esau when they were born. There was two nations. These are a type of two nations. The Edomites and the Israelites. And they've always been at war, and they'll always be at war. And out of the book of Obadiah, God said, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put Edom down, and Edom's going to be over and forever. And He tells us that will, and tonight it's still going on. That war is still going on. And now we're going to get into the part of prophecy in just a minute. You look at Obadiah on a literal standpoint, and you'll see that God brought it out, and Obadiah is telling us tonight that Israel and Edom is fighting. And you're going to see in just a few minutes some things about Edom or the Edomites. But I also want to remind you tonight that it was Cain who was the firstborn and was in line. And if you will, tonight Cain got switched and Abel got put in as being accepted of God. Cain killed him, but God rejected Cain. So when God says, I love Jacob and I hate Esau, He's put them in a line. He said, hey, one's right and one's wrong, and God can't hate God. Good. He's got to hate evil. God hates evil. Let's look at something else. If you'll remind yourself in the Word of God that Ishmael was the firstborn of Abraham through the handmaiden. But Ishmael became an enemy to Isaac. And Isaac is the one that God chose to put in because he was the promised son, and Abraham got ahead of him. Now you look at these. Just stay with me just a minute. I like to have a spell when I seen this myself. I'll give you another. And in the Word of God, there was a man by the name of Reuben. Reuben was one of the 12 sons of and the 12 tribes of Israel. Reuben was the firstborn and in line, but who actually ended up in the end? Joseph. Joseph was accepted, and Reuben was put to the side. You still got that? There's another in the Word of God. There's Manasseh. Manasseh was the one that's supposed to be, but instead Ephraim, you'll study the Scripture, find Ephraim was put in. And God chose Ephraim over the firstborn, Manasseh. And you have to do a lot of studying to get that, but it's there. Now, what's this a type of? Cain is a type of the fleshly man. Ishmael is a type of the fleshly man. Every one of these are a type of the fleshly man, and the others that were accepted and brought in were a type of the spiritual man. Did you get that? You've got Joseph. Joseph is a type of the spiritual man. Reuben is a type of the fleshly man. So in the Old Testament, God is not saying, hey, look, I chose this one to go to heaven, and I chose that one to go to hell. I'm showing you the difference between the flesh and the spirit. We can even see that. Adam, his name means red. He's of the earth, earthly. Esau was red. He's of the earth. And so what happens, Adam could not die for mankind. The firstborns here could not die for mankind, so God, in effect, is showing us through every single one that's been inserted in that He Himself would have to come and die on the cross of Calvary. So every time you see these in the Old Testament, God is saying, I'm going to send My Son to die on Calvary. I hope that don't confuse you tonight. So all throughout the Old Testament, God is prophesying that He's coming. That He's coming. Fleshly man can't save. It's going to take a spiritual man. Amen. The first man Adam, could not save. But the last man Adam, Christ, redeemed on the cross of Calvary. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Falls right in play, don't it? Now let's go back to something else tonight, if you will. Let's go back to verse 3 of Obadiah chapter 1. Now these little thoughts, you can go study them out. It takes a lot of research, but you can find those things. You'll keep a looking. And you'll see tonight that Obadiah is a very precious book, only 21 verses, but it carries a tremendous impact. Verse 3, he said, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Two things. The pride of your heart, number one, has deceived you. And number two, he said, you've lifted yourself up and you've got to the clouds and you've got so much strength. And he said in verse number 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, you've climbed high. You think you're above Israel. And Edom had come to the place that they thought they were indestructible. They thought that they were undefeatable. They thought they were so powerful over Israel that they could just wipe Israel off the face of the map. Especially if they concurred with the Babylonians. With the Babylonians' help, they could destroy them. And they moved in to do that in the first 16 verses. You see that in this book. We're not going to read those tonight. We'll probably come back and give you some more of that. So we find something that happened in verse number 3. They're deceived. Their hearts were deceived. Pride caused them to deceive themselves and make themselves think that they were something that they were not. And then we find that their strength fails them here. Because God said, who shall bring me down to the ground? That's what they said. And God said, I'll do it. On down in the Scripture. Now, Edom thought Israel was wimp. They thought it was a wimpy land. They thought they were weak. They thought they were small. God said in verse number 2, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. They thought they were higher than the Israelites, but God said, I've made you small. Now what I'm getting at tonight is this. Those folks over there in those Arab lands of the descendants of Edom, and they're fighting against Israel and they're saying, we want to put you down. And we've got nations across this land. I'm talking about on the other side of the globe, America. We've got people in America believe that too, but not as a whole. Thank God for that now. But we've got some on the other side of the globe, and they'll say, Israel's a nothing. It's a nobody state. Why would people get upset when the president said we're going to make Jerusalem the capital? Because they despise Israel and they count Israel as a nothing and a nobody country. That's why they're doing it. I'm going to continue. They want to put them. There's people tonight that would be tickled to death if Israel was wiped off the face of the earth and there was not one Jew alive. But I've got news for you. God said that's not going to happen. God said it's not going to happen. And God is saying this again. And if you will, and He's prophesying it out of the book of Obadiah, and here's the prophecy of this book, if you will. He's saying this. They're going to continue to rise. In that day there were three. There was the Israelites, as I mentioned a while ago. There was the Babylonians, and there were the Edomites. And they were all three together there, and there were two of them fighting Israel. And putting Israel down, and had God not intervened, Israel would have been destroyed here. But God intervened. Now God is saying that's going to happen again. And this is a prophecy of Obadiah. One of these days they're going to, after the church is called out of here, what's going to happen? Brother, those Edomites and the Babylonians, which is Gentile nations, those Gentiles and those Edomites are going to gather against Israel and they're going to get together again to try to destroy Israel. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation time. They're going to try to put an end to the Jew. When the Antichrist takes his reign on the earth, his whole outset is to make himself king. His whole outlook is to make himself, number one, make himself his God. That's why he's going to take him and sit down in the temple. That's why he's going to pull fire down out of heaven. That's why he's going to do what he's going to do. You understand that? You see it? But just before the kingdom of God is established, God's going to move in just like he did here in the book of Obadiah. And he's going to destroy the Gentile nations that are against Israel and the Edomites. who's been the enemies of Israel for years and years and years. And you put them down, and then he will establish his kingdom. Now I love it when I see the Word of God all come together. So will you get all that? Would you turn with me tonight to Psalm 137? I'm about done. Ain't you glad? Psalm 137. I love to study these things. They thrill my soul to learn the things of God. I want to read one verse out of Psalm 137, verse 7, please. Psalm 137, verse 7 said, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem." That's what he's talking about back there. "Who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Get rid of them. Annihilate them. Wipe them off the face of the earth." That's what they're saying. I told you that's what they said back there. They're good. They're going to do it again. They're still doing it in our country today. All right? Let's go a little further. Let's turn tonight to Ezekiel chapter 35. Another one of those little prophetic books, and Ezekiel knows what he's talking about. And if you'll get your concordance and Strong's concordance, if you will, and look these up, you'll see what I'm talking about. Ezekiel chapter 35 said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it." This is right over against Edom. A part of Edom, really. He said, "And say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate." God said, "I'm going to cut you off." Now that little bunch of run them scud missiles, and they hadn't been doing it so bad lately, but they're still doing it. And they said Israel hadn't had as much trouble with all those bombers, suicide bombers coming into their country since they built them a wall. Amen. If I was President Trump, I'd really magnify that. Wouldn't you? I'd get all the news I could of Israel, and I'd get some of them Jews talking about that wall. He said, "You for a wall?" Amen. Been for one for a long time. Anything to stop all this coming into our country. Notice on the news this week, amen, football player got killed from one that's come from Guatemala two times or third time in the country. Been put back out. And then when somebody said they want sanctuary, something's wrong with our nation. Lord have mercy. When you get to wanting all that, something's wrong. But God said this. He said, "I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord." And when all them folks who are trying to kill those Jews, they don't realize that they're on the bad side of God. God said, "I love Jacob, but I hate Esau." You think God loves that stuff? No. He said, why did God hate Esau? Because he's against God. Amen. Do you love your enemies? I know God said we're to love our enemies and pray for them. And there's a thin line there, and brother, I'll tell you, we ought to, and I'm not telling you to go out and hate nobody. And you're not going to go out and play this on me that God hates Esau, so I got the right to hate somebody. If you got the godly hate that God has, it'll be all right, but your hate won't be like that. You can't even hate right. God can. That makes sense to you tonight? I'm not reading anything and it's not in the Bible. So he said, because thou hast had a perpetual. What kind of perpetual? What is perpetual? Somebody tell me what perpetual is. Continuing on. Day after day, week after week, year after year. Constant. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword
in the time of thy calamity, or in their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had any, what would make somebody want to kill the Jew? Just for no reason. Got no reason. They just hate them. Now you understand why God said, I love Jacob, but I hate Esau. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. That word sith, doesn't you see that? That's not a mistranslation. That means because thou hast not hated blood, you've loved it. Since you've not hated blood, you like blood, I'll give you blood. What God's saying, thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut all from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. When that blood goes to flow into the horses' bridles in the tribulation hour, God will cut Edom off and all the Gentile nations that's against Israel. Listen, I'm on Israel's side. Praise God. I'm for them. And I appreciate it. Now you read the rest of that 35th chapter when you get home tonight, Ezekiel. There's some other places on that, and I don't have time to get into them. But maybe we'll get into the book of Obadiah and see some more of this book. And these books don't scare me. They're the precious, unadulterated Word of God. They're a blessing to study. Amen. Learn the deep truths of God's Word. Amen. I asked a preacher the other day, how long has it been since you ever preached out of the book of Obadiah? And he said, Obadiah? One of them Old Testament books. That's one of them Old Testament books. I said, yeah. He said, I don't reckon I've ever preached out of the book of Obadiah. Amen. But it's there, isn't it? It's one of God's books. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Help us still, Lord, tonight. It's my desire to see the things of the Lord. This book is prophetic. Now, we didn't get into the prophecy of it, but there's some prophecy we want to see. I touched on it, but I didn't preach it. And we'll get into it a little later, maybe. Lord, help us. I pray that God will strengthen you and encourage you, maybe give you a little taste to go home and study on this great book of 21 verses. Amen. And get out those things. Maybe we go back and you do a verse-by-verse study, not just an overview of it.